So our scripture this morning comes from three different places. Let me just get myself windproofed here. So first, reading from Micah 6:8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy. John 13:34-35, Jesus said, disciples. Colossians 3:12-17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you should forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And lastly, from the book of James, chapter 2:14-17. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Sermon title this morning is Looking at Jesus Changes How We See People. So I heard about this young couple, and they moved into this older neighborhood. The wife one morning looked out and saw her neighbor hanging clothes on the clothesline, and she thought, those clothes don't look very clean. And she kept noticing this week by week, and she kept thinking, I wonder if she needs a new machine, or maybe she just needs better detergent. But week after week after week, she kept looking out and noticing these clothes didn't look very clean. Then one morning, she looked out and she thought, wow, and her husband's in the room, and she says to him, oh my goodness, I wonder what they've done differently. Her clothes look so great. Her husband said, well, I don't know anything about the clothes, but I clean that window this morning. Often, the problem isn't what we're looking at, it's the lens through which we are seeing. We all wear lenses based on our own experiences, on our biases, on our prejudices. And when we spend time looking at Jesus, Jesus offers us new lenses to look through the world with. Our prejudice and our pride and our impatience and our assumptions begin to fade, and we begin to see people differently. We see them more like Jesus does. Jesus doesn't change the people around us as much as he changes the way we look at them. And the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the more we begin to see people the way that he does, not with labels, not as problems, not as interruptions, but as beloved people also made in God's image. Looking at Jesus transforms our vision, and with it, our actions. With our old lenses, we might quickly categorize people as friendly or difficult, successful or struggling, worth my time or inconvenient. Jesus invites us to wear his lens. Looking at Jesus helps us to look at every person with the same compassion that Jesus had when he looked on them. Now, compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of another, coupled with the desire to help relieve that struggle. Compassion bridges the gap between empathy, which is feeling someone's pain, and the act of care to actually improve their situation. Micah tells us what God requires of us: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Walking humbly means that we surrender our pride and we align our lives with God's will as we depend upon his grace. It's a daily journey of surrendering control, acknowledging our own limitations, and prioritizing a gentle servant heart attitude in our relationship with the Father. Walking humbly with God changes how we walk with other people and how we see them. When we recognize our own need for God's grace in our life, we are better able to extend that very same grace to other people. To act justly means to consistently behave with a moral uprightness, doing the right thing, acting with fairness and impartiality. Justice requires treating all people with equal dignity, honoring commitments that we make, and ensuring that our actions align with what is right, even when it's difficult, even when what is right might go against popular norms, and even when what is right is not even noticed by someone else. To love mercy means having this deep, joyful desire to show compassion, forgiveness, and kindness to others. Mercy often involves treating people the way they don't deserve. Mercy has no judgment. Compassion, we tend to relate more just helping someone in a struggle that they find themselves in. But mercy means we're aware that the struggle was caused by them, but we extend that mercy because they, even if they don't deserve the care. That's what Jesus did. Jesus constantly noticed the people that everyone else overlooked. He noticed Zacchaeus. He noticed the Samaritan woman at the well. He noticed blind Bartimaeus. He noticed the children. He even noticed the lepers. Jesus never looked past people. He looked at them with gentle, merciful eyes. Mercy is not just helping when it's convenient, but it's actively seeking out ways that you might offer to help others who are struggling. Mercy realizes that everyone is fighting a battle of some kind, even if we can't see it. And so mercy always extends grace, and even to those who don't deserve it, even to those who might have caused you personal harm or hurt. It's choosing grace over retaliation. It's being quick to forgive, slow to judge, and gracious in your daily interactions. Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Our prayer should be, "Lord, Help me to see who you see. It might mean we have to slow down our pace a little so that we can be more observant. It might mean that we have to stop racing through our own agenda and allow for an interruption. Remember when Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house and a very sick woman touched the hem of his robe? Jesus allowed the interruption in order to bless this woman. We need to be willing to be interrupted. Don't be such a slave to your schedule that God can't send you an interruption. Looking at Jesus, does this replace judgment? Jesus gives one defining mark of discipleship. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, who does one another include? Well, it includes that annoying person who has an opinion about everything. You know who I mean. It includes that lazy person who never seems to be around when there's a job to be done. It includes that loud, disruptive person. And that quiet, almost invisible person. And all the persons in between. Jesus is not giving us an easy request to love the lovable, the pleasant and fun people. But it's bigger than that. Jesus is giving us a command to love everyone, especially the hard to love. Love as Jesus loved. Jesus noticed them. He notices us. And his love is welcoming and patient and forgiving and sacrificial and unconditional. Christians are supposed to be recognized by our love, not by our theology, not by our opinions or our judgments or our rules, but by our love. And it is so important that Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's huge. It will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love is the proof of our faith. So imagine if every interaction you had with somebody, you asked yourself this little question: how would Jesus treat this person? I wonder if it would change how we might have treated them. Now, looking at Jesus begins his transformative work in our heart, and then it impacts our vision. And then it impacts our behavior. Paul says that we are to clothe ourselves. We all chose what to wear today. Maybe we put on two or three outfits before we got to the one we're wearing, but we all made a choice. Paul says we need to be just as intentional spiritually when we clothe ourselves, to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The fact that we have to put it on means it might not be part of our natural character. But here's the thing, all of those traits are part of Christ's character. And as Christ is in us means we have access to all that character. And when we put it on, there's an intention that we are going to grow in this character that God has put in us. When our eyes are on Jesus, change happens, and we begin to look more like the one who we're watching. We become like Jesus as we develop his character. When Christ rules our heart, compassion will naturally flow from you toward others, and you will be the kind of person God can interrupt when he lets you notice someone you might otherwise have missed. The beautiful thing about our heart transformation is our behavior always follows our heart. Looking at Jesus turns our compassion into actual deeds, into action. The book of James, he gives us a sound shaking. When I read this, I sort of felt like, grab him by the shoulders and give him a shake. If your faith doesn't show by your actions, if you don't show your faith through your actions, what good is it? How can anyone be saved with that kind of faith? In other words, if you don't put your action where your faith is, no one will care what you believe. There'll be no witness, no testimony. Because faith isn't merely what we believe. It's actually more about living out what we believe. Faith becomes visible in the way that we live. And James asked that question, if someone's hungry or lacking clothing, what good are kind words without practical help? Jesus' compassion always had works with it. He fed, he healed, he welcomed, he forgave, he served. Works is the natural result of our faith. It's not works to gain God's approval, it's works because we have it. Because we know God loves us, we should naturally fall into the place where we want to do the things God wants us to do. And so our compassion makes action. Looking at Jesus moves us from a place of having sympathy to a place of having service. Sometimes the greatest sermon you could ever give to someone is a meal brought to their house, a visit made, an encouraging phone call, forgiveness offered, even being a good listener. Because love is a verb. It's an action word. Love has hands and feet. Your hands and feet. When Jesus says love one another, he is not asking us to hold a good opinion of them in our heart. He's asking for so much more. He's talking about action. Serve them, help them, support them, show your love through your actions. It is the action of love that will become the witness to Christ in us. And we change more and more as we look more and more at Jesus. Our vision improves. We begin to notice people. Our eyes become softer, gentler, more like Jesus's eyes. Our hearts become kinder. Our hands become more willing. And as a result, our church becomes more welcoming. And our community begins to see glimpses of Christ through us. We might be the only Bible that person ever reads. We might be the only gospel that person ever hears. The change in us will bear witness and give evidence of a better way to live. And this change will draw others to Christ as well, and they too will begin to change. And the people they impact, and so on and so on. It's how communities are transformed. Our prayer should be that others will experience Jesus because of the way that we saw them and loved them. So I have three questions for you to ask yourselves each morning. First, ask, Jesus, who might you like me to notice today? And then ask, how can I love someone the way that you have loved me? What act of kindness can make my faith visible today, day by day, one day at a time. And before you know it, you won't need to ask those questions anymore, because it'll just be who you are. And you will notice the invisible, and your heart will break for them, and there'll be actions aligned to help. You will not even be able to measure the impact that your life can have on those around you. So keep your eyes on Jesus and just watch how he changes the way you see everyone else and the way you behave toward them. Go now with your eyes fixed on Jesus. As you walk with him, may he change the way you see every person you meet. May you act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. May you be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. May your faith be seen in acts of mercy, your words be seasoned with grace, and your life bear witness to the love of Christ. May the blessing of God, the Father who created you, the Son who loves you, and the Holy Spirit who empowers you, may they be with you now and always. Amen.